the good attendance, and we praise your name for this, Lord. We love you, and we want to do your will. We want to strengthen the families. We want to challenge people tonight. And we pray, Father, you bless that. And we pray you visit with us again tomorrow night in a great way for Wednesday night's service. And, Father, again, help us to do your will. Help us to, as a church, and help us to be in your will. And I pray, Father, these things would bring glory and honor to Christ. We thank you for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 24. And, Frank, would you read verse 14 to 18, please?
Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look back in verse 15, and the Bible tells us, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I know, there's been many preachers who preached on this and great messages about this. And we see that Joshua is at the end of his service for God. He's at the end of his life. And he's again counseling them as responsibility to the Lord and to the nation. And he warns them of what they could happen. They turn from the truth. Just like the Bible tells us, as Timothy said, in the last days, and people are going to turn from the truth. And God promises great judgment upon Israel. Now, Joshua gives instruction on how to keep from apostatizing or compromising, however you want to say it. But we find, first of all, there's exalting God. And, beloved, this should be common in our lives. You know, praising God and adoration of God. Now, I'm not just saying words. I remember there was a guy years ago was in the military who's go around and just say, praise the Lord, praise. And it was wrong the way he did it. He was, practically naked on a skateboard and go around and just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It was just religious. But I'm sincere when I say this. We ought to be praising God and adoring God. And you don't need to say to others, just say to God, how much you love him and adore him, what you appreciate about him, about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I was thanking God so much for saving me today, and not today, that'd be the next thing. Oh, Pat's got saved today. But saved my life and changed my life, and I praise God for that, and all that the Son of God did for me. And along with the Spirit of God. So it's very important to keep that very close to your heart about praising God and then obey God. Notice chapter 23 of Joshua in verse 6. Frank?
Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left.
All right, so we see complete obedience. That's very important. Complete obedience. Don't, have a smorgasbord type of religion. You want to be completely obedient to Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him if we keep his commandments and do those things pleasing in his sight. And then there's courageous obedience. So then we see cleaving to God. Notice verse 8 of chapter 23, please.
But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day.
So we see cleave means to be firmly attached to, glued to, cemented to. And this is what God is saying here about cleaving to God. And again, that's why it's so important to pray and read your Bible. It's cleaving to God. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, without me you can do nothing. And then fourth of all, we see loving God. Joshua 23 and verse 11, please.
Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God.
So if our affections are spiritual, if they're right, if they're good, we'll love God in the right way. And loving to do God's will must be nurtured and encouraged. And then number five, we've seen Joshua 23. We'll read verse 7 and 12, please. Chapter 23, verse 7 and 12.
That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you.
Now notice what God says. He said the nations have not been able to stand up to you. Why? Because they were living for God. They were right with God. And so there must be separation from things that are opposed to God. And Canaanites were to be separated from. They were not to walk with them, worship with them, or be used by them. So it had to be separation. May I say this, beloved? Separation is such an important doctrine in our lives. Even today, it's so important to be separated unto the Lord. Make sure you're careful with your separation. What you watch, what you view, what you read, what you listen to. You know, there's things that considered worldly music, and that those thoughts, and whether it's country western, rock and roll, hip hop. You know, whatever the thing is, it's wrong. And you got to be careful. You can make sure you're separated from that. And then we see that there's going to be great punishment for disobedience. And notice chapter 23, verse 13 through 15, please.
Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you.
So we see here the promises that God gave to Israel, and just that he promised them blessings and, you know, prosperity and all these wonderful things. God promises there's going to be punishment for disobedience. And so he rehearses with them how God was leading where they were and what he was doing in lives. And he stressed the obligations for service. Now notice, if you would, chapter 24 and verse 3, please.
And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac.
All right, so he's going to give a review here in chapter 3 to 14 of Israel's history. And the reason he's doing it is to remind them that this just didn't happen. You just didn't arrive here. There was a work to be done, and God used men and women to bring us to this place. Now notice, if you would, verse 14, please read.
Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
All right, so he instructs them to specification for service. And the first thing he said in verse 14, sincerity. In other words, we're not to be hypocritical. We're not to be, we're not to be putting on. We're not to be in a show in one sense of the word. And then notice he says not only sincerity, but truth. And he speaks about serving God honestly, with integrity. Being faithful to God and making sure you're doing the right thing. And how do you know you're doing the right thing? Based on the Bible. What does the Bible say? You know, say in worship, we got to worship in spirit and in truth. It's got to be according to what God says. And there's a lot of junk in churches today that's not the truth. And we've got to realize it's not the truth. Just because someone's being physical, active, doesn't mean it's the truth. I said this recently, I don't remember exactly when, but when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a bunch of shouting, glory, and so on. I'm telling you, I believe we're going to worship. Every time we see God appear through Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and New Testament, they bow before Him. So the idea, we're going to shout and have it, well, we may be shouting. But initially, there's going to be worship. And that's what we find over and over and over and over again, where people bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, if you would, so we're not to put on, we're not to play games, we're not to be, you know, playing games in church or before others. We're to worship God and serve God with sincerity and with truth. Now, notice verse 15, if you would, chapter 24, verse 15, we see that Joshua gives the invitation of service. Please read, Frank.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
All right. So Joshua is given an invitation. He's speaking about, you know, you want to serve the false gods on the other side, go for it. But as for me, my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, Liz and I, years ago, we committed ourselves in serving God. Before we had any children, it was going to be determined from our hearts, based on the Word of God, that we're going to be servants of God. And we have fulfilled that. We've done God's will for our lives. We've done God's will for our church. We've been, you know, involved with this. And this is God's will. You know, so the idea of you want to serve false gods, Joshua's saying, go for it. Why? Because there are eternal consequences. You want to serve false gods, you're going to answer for it. We're all going to give an account one day. And may I say this, that God is a just God. He's not going to overlook things. He's not going to excuse things. It's not going to be swept underneath the carpet. We're all going to give an account. So there's things in my heart, preacher, you know, men and women, and, you know, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with these people here. God sees it all. God sees everything. And you're not going to be excused. You're going to give an account. And you want to serve false gods? Go for it. But there's going to be a counting day. There was a great sermon preached. Payday Someday. You can probably find it online. It's a great sermon. And Payday Someday, it was preached about Ahab and Jezebel and how God promised that they were going to worship Baal and going to worship false gods. It's a payday someday. Now, you may be high on your horse. You may live the way you think is okay and so on. But there's a payday coming. And God promises that in verse 15. So about 600 years later, the prophet Elijah said basically the same thing to Israel. In 1 Kings 18 and verse 2, how long halt ye between... I can't read my writing. Between the Lord and the false gods. So you can't be, you know, indifferent. You got to choose one. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And you know, you got to follow Christ. And if you don't want to follow Christ, then follow Baal or whoever the false god is. But the thing is, this is a payday coming. And this charge was unbiased. In other words, the people were to weigh it out. They were to examine the options. If it's of evil to serve Jehovah, then don't do it. And I'll tell you, beloved, that when I look back and I was thanking the Lord for this day, I look back, all the blessings since I came to Christ. And I wouldn't exchange a moment of it. I thank the Lord for His work in my life. And it's only for saved people that God works for good. A lot of people claim that, oh, I know all things work good. No, it doesn't. It works for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. So I praise the Lord for that. I rejoice. And I thank God for His work in my life, in my family, and in our church. And Christianity is open for examination. We have nothing to hide. The Bible says we need to come reason together. And we need to, you know, think it through. And that is important. You've got to ask yourself, who am I serving? Is it the flesh or the spirit? Is it Jehovah God or is it the world's gods or whatever it may be? And not only was it unbiased, but there's an urgency. He said, it is now that decision should be made. And there are a lot of people that come to services week in and week out, have yet to decide themselves for Christ, yet to repent, yet to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Why? Because you don't know when your time's up. You don't know what's going to happen to your soul if you reject Christ again. You don't know if the rapture's going to take place. I was witness to someone this morning about the return of Christ. And I said, I believe it's imminent. I believe it all my life. Since I've been saved, I should say. And I believe it's imminent that Christ could come back at any time. I said, but when you see the things happening, and it's not just America, it's Israel. And Israel, I heard Jared Kushner yesterday speak about Israel. And he said Sudan just had a peace treaty with Israel. And he said there's five more countries, Muslim countries, coming to visit. Well, listen, beloved. There's going to be a peace treaty that's going to be signed by Israel. And when that happens, we're out of here. And you say, well, you know, there've been peace treaties before. Apparently, it's not the time. But they're speaking about peace and safety. And I had it up to here with peace, safety. Oh, we just want to be safe. Oh, the government wants us to be safe. So, hey, it's my life. If I want to get corona, I'll get it. I say that in all sincerity. Well, I'm going to die one day. I don't want corona. And I don't want you to have corona, but we're going to face it. People are going to die. We shouldn't be locked down. We shouldn't be separated. And a lot of problems coming from that. But the thing is this, we're all going to die. And that's the thing we need to do. The Bible said, prepare to meet the Lord. You've got to prepare yourself to die. So we see that delaying one's decision could then take you to a place known as hell. Now, let me just say, if I've offended you, I'm sorry, but that's the truth of what I said. It's the truth. You're all going to die. I'm going to die. And the thing is that you're prepared. And we find here the next thing that he was not only unbiased, urgent, but he was unified. He said, me and my house. And it's a personal choice. Yet a man must lead his family. And the Bible tells us, a man, you men, whether it's your wife or you have a bunch of people in your home, you got to lead them. Just like Joshua. He was such a good man, a respected man, a leader. And that's what we need to be. We need to make a decision. I'm going to make sure that not only me, but my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this is what every home needs, a man to lead their family to serve God. Now, a family to unify and serve God together. And may we say the same about Joshua tonight in our lives, that as Joshua said, me and my house, that's what I'm saying. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, this is a purpose as a family to serve the Lord together. And there's three examples I'd like to point to tonight in the scriptures about people who were determined to serve the Lord. And the first one is found in the book of Acts. Let's turn there, please, the book of Acts. And we see in chapter 18, and Brother Frank, would you please read verse 1 through 3, chapter 18, verse 1 through 3, about Aquila and Priscilla.
After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers.
All right, would you read verse 18, please?
And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centria, for he had a vow.
All right, so we find here that we assume they were saved during this period of time. It was a couple, there were no children, and they seen their willingness to follow Paul. They said, well, they were men worship. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? There's got to be leadership. And Paul was serving the Lord. And every time you read of Aquila and read of Priscilla, they truly were a team for God. And what do we find about them? They were surrendered. Both surrendered to the Lord in service. And this is proven by their willingness to go and serve. So what were they doing? Well, it was a different economy at this time. And they were tent makers. And they were working on putting together tents for the reason to sell. And they were part of Paul's ministry team after this took place. And it helped to get started and establish and build and maintain churches. Turn to Romans chapter 16, please. Chapter 16 and notice verse 3. Brother Frank?
Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus.
All right. And then notice 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19.
The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house.
All right, so we see them in Rome. We see them in 1 Corinthians. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read verse 19.
Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus.
So they're headed to heaven. Paul is, you know, going to be beheaded shortly by Nero. And he greets one more time. And everything that they had belonged to God. Now, I'm telling you, listen, young people, mom and dad, everything. They made that decision that they're going to follow the Lord. Their lives belong to God. Their marriage, their things, their home, their money, everything. And that they were surrendered. They offered up to God. And the thing we need to do, we need to make sure that you're surrendered, that I'm surrendered. And I've told God many times, Lord, I'll go anywhere. If you want to use me, I'll go anywhere. I'm thankful I'm here. I love you folks. I love you to death. No, I should say, I love you life. I know. Anyway, you get the point. But the thing is this, is that it's so important that we are all surrendered to Christ. And you can't say, well, I'm surrendered, but no, it's surrender. Just like the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that's what we should do with our lives. Every day get up and realize I got to worship God. I got to live for God. I got to serve God. I want to reach someone for the gospel of Christ. I want to see someone come to Christ and be saved. So this is what God intends for us. You cannot be, oh, I'm going to serve the Lord for a while and then I'm going to, you know, get backslidden. I'm going to serve other things. No, it's always been serving God. When we were church members, we were up in Grand Forks. We came out here, regardless of where we were, up in Port Jeff, down in Sayville, now in Holtsville. You know, we continue to serve God. What else would you do with your life? Why would you hold on to your life? Jesus said, if you do that, you're going to lose it. So, we see that they were surrendered. Second of all, they were spiritual. They make their surrender even more powerful. Because what they did, they surrendered to the Lord. They based their belief system because they were spiritually mature. They could be trusted because they were spiritually minded, spiritually sound. They were stable. They were separated. And you say, preacher, I like to become spiritually mature. Well, it takes time, beloved. You know, you didn't become a born into this world and become a teenager. It took growing, maturing, developing, right? Putting things in. And we got to do the same thing before you become an adult, before you're spiritually mature. You've got to grow. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's going to be a lot of lessons God's going to teach you and become spiritually minded. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, please, verse 11 and 14. Hebrews 5, verse 11 and 14.
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
All right, so you want to become spiritually mature, you've got to work out your salvation in how? In fear and trembling. And you say, well, you know, I just want to be used. Well, you know, when you're usable, God will allow me to know that. And, you know, lots of it is just natural. But you got to work at it. It takes, you know, spiritual growth. It takes separation from this world. It takes, you know, knowing the scriptures. It takes knowing God. And so you've got to work out your salvation. How? In fear and trembling. And you cannot allow the Word of God to become dull. You can't become dull of hearing. You got to be very sensitive. That's why the Bible speaks about being filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. Now, notice Acts chapter 18, if you would. Acts 18, verse 26, please. We see here their spirituality, verse 26.
And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly.
All right. So he was a man. His name was Apollos, and he was born in Alexandria. And he's eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. But this is the truth. I want you to stay with me. He may have been powerful in the scriptures, but he didn't have the right belief system. And they said, "What do you mean, preacher?" I mean, what I'm saying is that he didn't have things that were doctrinally sound in his life. And you know, notice that Aquila and Priscilla, they listened to him, and God brought him into their lives, and they expounded what? See? Oh, wait, there you go. The way of God. And so they taught him. And so I personally believe, because what the Bible says, they taught him about salvation. They taught him about the New Testament church. They taught him about the ordinances. They taught about missions, sending the word. See, there's a belief system in the world that's willy-nilly. It's you know, do whatever God leads you to do. Well, that's true. But remember, in the New Testament church that was in chapter 13 of Acts, they were yielded to the church. And then God called them out of church. And that's God's plan for this age. You know, say, well, I'm not going to go. I'm going to do a mission board. I'm going to go out this way. That's not God's way. And, you know, you want to have fruit? Do it God's way. It's always right. Do it God's way. And so you have to have the right belief system. And they didn't. But well, he didn't, but they spoke to him about the Word of God in verse 26, the way of God more perfectly. So they're important. We need families who are sound in the faith, separated unto God, evangelistic, soul winners, witnesses, testimonies for God, and not just the husband or wife, the whole family. Everyone's serving the Lord. Everyone's interested. See, preacher, my husband's not saved. My wife's not saved. That's all right. I believe this with all my heart. You got to pray for them. You got to pray they come to Christ. And you got to live in a certain way that's going to provoke them to your faith, to your belief, to trust in Christ. So we see Aquila and Priscilla, and they were ministries of helps. And then second of all, we see the household of Stephanas. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and notice verse 14 and 15, please.
And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Oh, sorry, Pastor. 16,
verse 14 and 15.
Okay.
I'm glad we know that verse about, right?
Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth.
All right, so there's a lot here. We see verse 14, which says, let all things be done with charity. So what should we do? I tell you, beloved, when we come to church, it should be a love fest. And I think a lot of it is. But there's no place in your heart to have issues with someone. You say, well, I taught my family as kids were growing up and maturing. You have issues, go talk to your brother. Go talk to your sister. And that's the same thing. Why? Because that's what the church is about. There's going to be differences. Think of all the backgrounds we have here. Think of all the different folks we have here. The different ages. The different cultures. And I love it. But let me tell you this. God wants us to be unified. He wants us to be on the same page. And how do you do that? With love. With love. Which leads us into verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of what? You have to say it. I'm not the saints. So they addicted themselves. It means to voluntarily appoint themselves responsibility. They were going to love God's people, period. Well, I'll love them if they love me. That's not the way they looked at it. They considered that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And they were going to be loving people. I'm thinking of a couple right now, not in our church. They're in the Midwest. They have that ministry. They just love people. And they care about people. They're concerned about people. And they have done a great work in that church of ministering to other people. And this is what the household Stephanas was. They were first fruits of Achaia. They were saved first. And not only did they get saved, but the Bible says they were addicted. And they addicted themselves, voluntarily appointed themselves responsibility. And they were the first fruits in the ministry there in verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So Paul is saying, you know, you submit yourself to these people. He was in the past necessary at the time, but he was instructing them of what they're to do. You know, these people are loving you. They're caring about you. They're going to provide. They're going to meet needs. The greatest need we have is that someone cares about us. Amen? And that's what they did. Let's go to Luke 17, please. Luke chapter 17. We'll read verse 7 and 9. Luke 17, verse 7 and 9.
But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not.
All right, so we see, thank you, Frank. I see that they had the understanding of servitude. Here's the thing, beloved. A servant is going to do what he has to do when the master comes from the field. He's going to feed him. He's going to take care of him. And so he says here, I want you to see this, in verse 9, he said, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I try not. I don't think so. Now, is it polite to thank people? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we should have a spirit of gratitude. But the idea is that if you're a servant, what are you doing for it? Thank yous? For attaboys? Go get them, Ty? Is that what you're doing it for? Are you doing it for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you, I say this in all sincerity. I've cleaned bathrooms almost my whole life as a saved man. And is it something I just want to tell everyone here, please listen, I clean the men's room. It's a dirty job. I did it up in Port Jeff State and did it in Sayville. I've done it here. But I'm not going to boast about that. I'm not looking for an attaboy or, good pastor. I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it for God. I love God. And that should be our attitude when we are serving others. So we see again in verse 16 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, they were the first fruits in the ministry of the Gentiles. And so their whole family were involved with servitude. Now, I know they probably didn't have little kids, but they were older family, and they were doing God's will for their life. Notice chapter 22, please. Luke chapter 22, and notice verse 27.
For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth.
So we know what it's like. We used to go to restaurants. Remember that? And we'd go then. Lots of time we'd love to be served. And you pay the bill. Nothing wrong with that. But Jesus said here, it's not where you sit. That promised seat. Giving the maitre d' a little extra. Get me a good seat. But Jesus said here, in verse 27, he said, I'm among you as he that serveth. So, may I say this? The ladies every week are serving the whole congregation, or much of the congregation, during the brunches. Let me say this. I said all sincerely. You ever thank them? That's important. Now, they probably wouldn't want it. But again, the issue of being thankful, grateful, just don't assume. And the other side is, if you're serving, don't look for a thank you. Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. And notice, if you would, John chapter 13 and verse 16. John 13, verse 16.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him.
So, again, we see God's people was God's love. And, the lost were Jesus Christ was serving the lost, but he's serving God's people. And, again, we see, now there's a bunch of verses here, and let's go through to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And notice, if you would, verse 1 and 2.
Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given up himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
All right, Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians 1, verse 9.
And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment.
Chapter 2, verse 2.
Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 2.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ.
Notice she says knit together. I didn't say crochet. It's not my knitting. It's going to be a tighter response to that, and being knit together, how? In love. So, notice chapter 3, verse 2.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3.
remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father.
Chapter 3 and verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians.
And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you.
All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, please. Hebrews 10, 24.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
All right, so what does God tell us here? Many commandments, but think about what God says here. He wants us to provoke, not in the flesh, but provoke us to love and concern and care for one another. May I say this? I'm so thankful for our men, the deacons. They do that. Now, James provokes people, period. But most times he's doing it for love, right? But that's what it's about. It's about caring and loving and concern and, you know, for what? Your soul. Want the best for you. And I'm so thankful for these men. You know, they have that side to them, and praise the Lord. The last thing we see tonight is found number three, the woman Lydia. And she had a ministry of her house. Let's go back to chapter 16 of Acts. Acts 16, verse 12 to 15, please.
And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us.
Wow, what a woman. And she was worshipping God, but she didn't know him. And that's clearly taught in the text here. You know, people can worship or say they're worship, but they don't know the Lord. But here, the Bible tells us Paul spoke to them concerning the things of God. The Lord opened her heart. And you say, well, I wish the Lord opened my heart. Look, if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And what I'm saying is you can have your heart open. And there have been many people here tonight who have been saved by his grace. And God opened their understanding, opened their heart towards the things of God. And this single unmarried businesswoman, she gave the ministry of a house. She was hospitable. She was generous. She was giving. And too many are stingy with what they own. And this is not found in many overseas countries. People find an honor and a privilege. Come to my house, I want to feed you. Americans were standoffish. No, stay back. You know, someone come by sometime, some Saturday night, and just knock on your door. You mind if I stay with you? Oh, no, go out the street. Of course. But the thing is this, I'm so thankful that my wife and I and our family are very hospitable. We had many people stay with us. And it's good to be known that way. That's what Lydia was. She said, you find me faithful. She said, I want you to stay with me. Well, let me just tell you, Paul went from, you know, Philippian jail or whatever jail he was in before that. And he walked in this very nice house and he's thinking, this is nice. I get used to it. And God said, well, you're not going to. You're going to the Philippian jail and you're putting stocks and so on. But there was a work to be done. Why? The Philippian jailer needed to be saved and his household. Amen? And that's why it's good to be used the Lord. But she was a gracious woman. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and close. Romans 12 and verse 11, please.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
All right, notice verse 10, being kindly affectionate one to another, brotherly love, and honoring and honor preferring one another. So this was the issue of love, 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 love. And then he goes on and tells us, be kindly affectionate one to another. And the brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And so this is what we need to do. We need to be like Aquila and Priscilla. We need to be like the household of Stephanas. We need to be like Lydia. And nearly all of it equals to, beloved, they were living sacrifices. Holy. Given to God. And we're doing God's will. You say, oh, preacher, I don't have the ability to house people. I understand. Everyone's different. But the thing is, we must be willing to. If you can, you ought to. If you can serve the Lord like Aquila and Priscilla, do it. If you can be like the household of Stephanas in the local church, do it. If you want, you can be like Lydia, do it. And God will be glorified in it. These are all families. That's for me and my house. Serve the Lord. Let's stand to our feet, please.